basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Just in case you're lost this morning, this is Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Some people get a little confused where they're at sometimes, but it's Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, St. Paul. All right, front and center there. Stand up. You said you wanted to do it. Let's go. All right, then. Only these two. So we're going on a trip this August with the young men and women, Augmont, August, and we're going to the mountains, Rocky Mountains, and they've got to raise $600 each. And so, what are your skills?
Can clean and babysit.
You can clean and babysit. Can you clean babies?
Yes.
All right. So you can clean babies and babysit there. What do you got? What do you got skills?
Same thing.
All right. And so they're trying to raise money and they need to buy this August so they can go on the trip with the youth, with Kimberly and I. So we're going to be traveling around and doing all kinds of stuff. So this is Zoe and this is Ozana. Ozana. So just remember, Ozana loves the Lord. All right. So you just do that. Ow. All right. Very good. Have a seat there. So, and then that's with some of the other NYG, not youth groups. So talk to them, giving them jobs. And then you just donate here, just put the name on the envelope or whatever and just donate it here so it can go to their account. Don't hand them cash, not these kids. And then store it up there and then donate. And don't overpay them. You're not doing them a favor. Make them work for it, okay? So we'll go from there. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 23. And we're updating our calendar, and if you are syncing your phone to your mobile devices or whatever, please update, scroll all the way to the bottom. We've added a couple of more calendars, so if you're adding it to your mobile device calendar, make sure you subscribe to those calendars as well. Some people are thinking, well, marriage enrichment, it's not on the calendar. And I'm like, well, it is on the calendar, but I realize you need to sync it to your phone. That's a new calendar. And so do that. Turn with me to Acts chapter 23, we're going to pick it up here at verse 12. And Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord. So God, may you just continue to do your work in our lives this morning. Through the power of your Holy Ghost, just come upon us and teach us, Lord, what each and every one needs to know today. They can just fall more in love with you. So maybe we do that today. Leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than we came here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said, first service, today's title of the message, I typically don't title them. I think they already come, you know, with chapter and verse. But you're here now, all right? You're here now. And so when you look at the last couple of chapters, my conjecture, my opinion, my understanding is Paul made some mistakes. About five different times he was told not to go to Jerusalem. You're not needed in Jerusalem. You're not called to the Gentiles. Or no, you're not called to the Jews, the circumcision. You're called to the Gentiles. Go and do that. And remember, before going to Jerusalem, when this whole thing started, the church was prophesying over him. The Agabus, the prophet, comes, says, Paul, you know, you're not needed. And he says, I'm willing to die. You know, why are you making me weep? And your courage, Paul, was not an issue. All right, but there's going to be something that's going to happen. And then when he got through all that, and then verse 11, and then God said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me in Rome. So God's just taking our good, Romans 8:28. He takes our good. He doesn't turn it into good. But God takes our sin, takes our mistakes, takes our things, and he'll use it for his good because he can, we can't. And so, but Paul was already told that he was going to go to Rome and he was going to testify and he was going to share there, but he's going to go in maybe a different way. Now, however, my best friend over at Calvary Chapel Twin Cities, Mike Fernandez, he's teaching through some of the same passages here in Acts. Go and get his take on it on the last couple of chapters as well. I've shown you the other couple of verses there and that Paul was being led of the Spirit to be these things. Here's my thing. You're here now. So whether you are of the opinion that Paul made some mistakes, he waved off the Holy Spirit and he got himself into this jam, okay. or he was led there. It doesn't matter to me at this point. Now we're in chapter 23 and verse 12. You're here now. There's no time to say, again, God, why'd you leave me here? I don't like this jam. Or, hey, I made some mistake and I'm going to, and you might think that you're being punished and because you made these mistakes. Trust me. No. Paul, you're here now. And look what Paul does now. So I really don't care. People tell me why they're here, they're showing up, or how they ended up here, whatever. I don't care. I mean, I care about you, but you're here now. What are we going to do right now? See, turn with me into Philippians chapter 3. Keep your fingers in Acts 23. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 13. This is our beloved Paul. Said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me." Now, some really misapply this one. They think that you're just supposed to forget about your past, never talk about your past, not to be doing those things. Because we only have one word in the English language, forgetting, and that word is? Forgetting. And you take your definition of it. In other words, if you look at the verses before and after, it says, don't hang your hat on that. Don't depend on that. Remember your old life. There's certain things that we're not to be talking about we should be ashamed of, but not that anything happened in my past, I'm just blanking it out, I'm just blocking it out. I mean, there's things and why I am the way I am today because of my past and way that God has led these things, but I'm not to be depending upon those things for the future. So again, I press towards, and this is verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So don't let those things in your past hold you down. Don't let those things in the past keep you from going towards that high goal and that mark. That tells us here in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect. You guys get biblical sarcasm, right? Anyone here perfect? I looked in the mirror this morning, and I'm looking around here, and I haven't seen one perfect person here today. If you know what perfect people eat for breakfast, I don't. So here, but again, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything that ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto what you have already attained. What do you know? What you've already attained? Let us walk by the Spirit, that same rule. Let us mind the same thing. So go with me back to Acts 23. So it isn't a matter of your past. I'm not going to let my past dictate my future, but I understand the various experiences and things that I've gone through has molded and shaped me. And now through God's help and through, again, through Him transforming me and doing these things, you're here now. You guys get it? I don't care how you got here, you're here now. So it matters what you're going to do today. From whatever you're going to hear today, whatever the Holy Spirit's going to teach you, and show you these things, you're here. And so Paul, whether it was, again, my conjecture, my opinion, that he made some mistakes along the way and he was zealous for those things, he got caught up in it, or if the Lord led him there, either way, check out where he's at and what he does now. And look at the decisions that he makes and how he's going to present things. Look at verse 12. And when I was... And when it was day, and certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. That's religion. How is it that, again, remember, Jesus even said that some will try to kill you. They'll persecute you and think they're doing a service for God. They'll actually try to talk to you about common sense and why do you go here, or what do you do that, or why are you living your life that way? That's just crazy. But look at religion, that some, that he says they'll even try to kill you, and here it is in Judaism. Look at verse 13. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And when they came to the chief priests and the elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. In verse, in between verse 14 and 15, they said, that's not right. You're godly men. This will blow our witness. The Romans will come and get us and they'll say, you were just split. Different Bible, right? They came to the religious leaders with this plan. And we're going to kill him. And they don't dissuade him. Now, therefore, and again, that's religion. This isn't, Christianity is not a religion, folks. It's all based upon the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's about this relationship that we have with God that assures us that we'll go to heaven when we die. And so here, they're presenting a thing in such a way, and this is their religion. It's man-made. They've taken that. And what they're talking about here isn't even what Moses was given by God on Mount Sinai. So they're practicing a form of Judaism that's their own thing. And so here, he tells them that we're ready to kill him. And it says here, and now therefore, ye with the council signify that Sanhedrin, that ruling council there that Paul had already stood before. And he said to the chief captain, and it said, bring him down unto you tomorrow as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him and we, or even he, or and we, or even he come near, we are ready to kill him. That means you're going to have to go through some Romans too, by the way. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So remember, Paul's a Roman citizen. Remember what they did in the last chapter? They bound him, they beat him, they obviously pulled him out of the Sanhedrin. And what'd you do? And they're just, you know, normally what you do. And he goes, hey, man, I'm a Roman citizen. Uh-oh, now there's problems. So Paul's free to roam about. He's being protected in the castle here. He's got some cred now. So they took him and brought him, verse 18, to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who hath something to say unto thee. And then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council as though they would inquire something, what of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him. And then more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. Oh, man, what does it tell the Romans about the people that they're ruling over? And this, they're not so docile anymore. They're trying to kill him. And people do that in the name of their religion. And if you have to fight for your God, if you have to fight for your way and your thing, and you have to use force, and you have to coerce and to do things to prove your point, I don't think your point's that valid then. And so here, looking for a promise for thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. And he called unto him two centurions. One centurion was, again, centurion Latin for 100, but literally he was over hundreds of men. Two centurions. And remember, a centurion in the Roman army at this time, this is a guy who's gotten wet. This is a battle-hardened scars. This is a tough-as-nails type of guy. And he's in charge of all this. He gets two of them. So now we know there's about a couple hundred here. Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen themselves to Caesarea, and 10, and spearmen, and 200 of the third of the hour. So there's a little under 500 guys. There's about 70 horsemen. There's about 200 spearmen. And then there's 200 guys with, you know, little swords and big swords and shields for this one Roman citizen, by the way. And we're going to get him to Caesarea. Well, that's sort of like, you know, they know that there's 40 guys ready to kill and they're going to do some things. And when the 40 sees 500 guys going, maybe their religious leader said, well, your plan is interesting. It's either God, Satan, or the flesh. I think when they saw the 500 soldiers there, they're like, I think this might have been the flesh. One, I don't think it was God, because God is not going to call you to go kill someone for him. You understand he can do that himself, right? And it doesn't seem like it's the, it could be the enemy. The enemy doesn't want Paul around, but he's using your flesh. And so here, verse 24, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix, the governor. Now, Caesarea is, again, down from Jerusalem. Jerusalem's 3,700 feet above sea level, and it's down, and you're down on the coast of the Mediterranean. And Caesarea is pretty much the seat of Roman government there in Israel, in that part of the world. And he wrote a letter after this manner. This is hilarious. This is the White House press secretary writing this one. Because he's going to write him. He's going to be the hero. Remember, they got Paul. They rescued him or took him by force and then beat on him and bound him and chained him. What'd you say to upset them? Because understand this. The Romans had conquered the known world at the time. The Romans gave each of the conquered people, they gave them their liberties and their freedoms. They weren't a free state. And they gave them little things to pacify them. Gave them the little freedoms they had there. And one of the things that they would do in any of the conquered people, you got your religion, you got your tradition, you got your ways, whatever, we'll allow you to practice that as long as you keep the peace. In 4 BC, when the Romans totally took over that, they took away the right of capital punishment. Jews could no longer have their rock concerts and stone people. Thus, you fast forward 32 years later than Jesus. They need to turn Jesus over to the Romans so he could be crucified. So the death penalty was taken away. It was taken away. And understand this, at this time, Rome was a very civilized, benevolent, to some degree, conquerors. It's where we get our Congress and our Senate from, and it's where we get our former government, the Senate. That's Roman. And they were very civilized. And the other thing you had to understand is nothing was done in a vacuum. Nothing was done. No Roman soldier could just put somebody to death. There had to be death warrants. There had to be certificates of death. And those are still even in existence to this day. So everything that we're reading here is verifiably proven. And if you're trying to run a con on somebody, you don't put that much detail in. And they're going to drop some names here. And these people are actual people in history that you will be able to read about. And so here, they're sending these hardened, battle-ready soldiers to protect this Roman citizen. And so they allowed, and that's what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about, listen, you know, they're in the temple area, you know that the high priest and the Sanhedrin and the elders of the people gave me letters. I was out persecuting this sect that you call the way, but these are Christians. And I imprisoned people, and I had people put to death, and I had brought them back. And the Romans could care less. Whatever, the Roman government will just, whatever you need to pacify this, to stay a docile people. So we just don't want to work at this. You're conquered. We'll give you these little freedoms. We'll pacify you. So now there's a guy who's causing a big uproar, and the Romans are like, well, we don't see the people acting like this before. What's going on here? So they rush in and they grab Paul, and then they find out later they beat him. They put him in shackles. Two things you can't do to a Roman citizen. And the chief captain, the centurion there, says, you're a Roman citizen? He goes, yes, I am. He goes, well, I had to buy my citizenship. Paul, like, I'm born a Roman. I may be Jewish, but I was born a Roman citizen. I'm freeborn. Freeborn, that's the term, freeborn. So for someone who bought their citizenship or earned their citizenship to even do that, so there was like a pecking order. There was a caste system there. You might be a Roman citizen, but I'm a freeborn Roman citizen. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Now check out the letter. This is hilarious, okay? So Claudius, he says here, and he wrote a letter after this manner. Verse 26, Claudius Lysias, unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then I came with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman citizen. You found that out later. And did you really rescue him? Because I don't know. I've seen rescues before. You don't take the person you rescue and then beat him up. Okay, so you see, I just want to say apologies. You see how the White House maybe got in on this one here and there? I don't think that's what really happened here, but he's writing a letter to him. And understand, Paul's going to go along with this. And when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council. Hey, what's went on here? And when I perceived to be, and whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. All right. It's just your own little law. The Romans allowed you to go and as long as you're not attacking Roman soldiers and coming against Rome, whatever, go and imprison one another, kill yourselves, do whatever you want. We don't care. All right? If that's your kicks and that's what you like and that's what you want to do, we'll let you govern yourselves. Just pay us money and we'll take care of the roads and we'll do all the stuff and just do whatever you want. We'll allow you, we'll give you these freedoms and we will pacify you. And so here, I saw nothing worthy of death or bonds. Verse 30, and when it was told me how that the Jews had laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. A little revision going on there. Okay. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. And on the morrow, they and the horsemen to go with him, and they returned. So the horsemen turned back. And who, when they had come to Caesarea and delivered this epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, I will hear thee, and when thine accusers are also come, and he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. So he's going to have free reign. You're under house arrest. We got to get to the end of this. Because understand from the Roman, why did you upset this docile people? Why did you upset the status quo? What are you saying? Lysias is already saying, hey, there's nothing worthy of the Roman law. This is between them. Okay, I'll hear from thine accusers. Chapter 24. And after 5 days, Ananias and the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain order named Tertullius, who informed the governor against Paul. If you're running a con and you want, and Tertullius, that guy should be in history. And he is, by the way. Some of his works can still be read today. Those in Orthodox Judaism know about this guy. So everything that I'm sharing from the Bible, it should be provable. You see, I've tried to break this for 43 years. And when I first became a Christian, I said, listen, I'm really excited about what's going on. I like the feelings I'm having. I like the new people I'm hanging out with. I like everything about church. I like all this stuff, but this is too good to be true. So I'm going to try to break it. And I'm going to try to go here. I understand there's a God. I'm not him. I'm feeling good about this salvation. I got water baptized. I mean, I did it all. I got jumped into this gang. All right, I'm there. I'm in. But I'm going to try to break it. I'm going to look, and I'm going to try to do those things. And then when I shared this with my family and friends, and they're like, oh, that's ridiculous. Then offer me another solution. What? Then, okay, if this isn't real, I've already done these other things. Offer me something else. You see, I'm coming to you and I'm thinking, I found it. And I'm going to share this with you. I found a good thing. I'm not going to keep it to myself. All right? But if you're telling me I'm crazy, if you're telling me this isn't true and this isn't real, then show me what is. And no one can. You know, hey, why don't you go to church with me? No, I don't want to do that. Well, why don't you come with us? Well, I want you to come to church more than you want me to come to this. And well, then show me something else. It really can't be that good. Show me something better. Listen, I'm carnal. I told him early on, I'm carnal. Listen, show me something better than this. And then I had old guys who would come by who would want to buy drugs for me. And I go, oh, I got the best angel dust ever. Chicks got the stuff. And people were coming. They only come once. And I go, yeah, I got the cosmic stuff, man. It's out of this world. And what is it? And I go, oh, it's right here, man. And I give him the Bible, like, what? And then you're taking this too far. Why do you go to that church? Or I would say things like, hey, listen, I'll see you on Sunday. I'll see you Sunday afternoon, but I'm gonna go to church. Then my friend's like, well, can't you just run in and go to mass like the rest of us early in the morning and get it over with? Or can't you go on Saturday and get it over with? Like, no, we're having a different church experience here. Offer me something better. I'm willing. I put it to all my family and friends. Offer me something better. Show me something better, and I'll go with that, because right now I'm sticking with this. This is the best. If this is broke and this is something, then show me something. And no one in 43 years has ever been able to offer me anything better than what I'm experiencing right now. All right? Not going to jail anymore. I don't have multiple wives and multiple kids and multiple girls and stuff like that. I don't have any sexually transmitted diseases. I'm not waking up in the morning trying to chew my arm off because I'm next to this woman I don't know. I don't have those anymore. I don't have the hangovers anymore. I don't have all the stuff, and I don't have all the things. Now you think, oh, check your sex, drugs, rock and roll, stuff like that. It was all sin. So you figure out whatever your sin is. All right. Maybe you think I'm in the low man of the totem pole sort of thing, and I just, you know, I needed Jesus. You know, people say, well, you know, to you, you know, church is a, you know, is a crutch. I said, no, it's not, man. It's a whole hospital. It's intensive care. It's infant. It's NICU. It's all the way up, man. I'm a baby. It's more than a crutch. It's intensive care. I got it all, man. I am totally 100% dependent upon this. But that's all you offer me something better. Well, they're like, well, why do you have to go to church? I don't have to. I want to. And maybe you're having this experience. And people say, why? So she come to church because there's a lot of freaks there, man. You just got to come and just start talking to their story and how they ended up here. I'm normal. I love it because during the wintertime, I'm witnessing to a lot of guys, and it's not till summer that people see all the tattoos my wife has. And I didn't marry that. She was a blank canvas when I married her. Her and my daughter, and well, not Katie, but they're actually at the pastor's wife's conference this week, and they've already set up tattoo shops at Kara's favorite tattoo place. So I tell guys like, hey, man, am I okay to come here? And I go, dude, my wife's got more tattoos than you. You're nothing. And they come and they see all, but everyone's about a grandchild and they all have meaning or whatever. And I was just drunk and got this one. But listen, show me something better. I'll do it. I've offered that forever. And then my other Christian friends, don't say that to your friends. And then I like, what? And I would do something. I go, you know what? And I would tell the guys at church, and they're, you know what? You know what's better than being born again and going to heaven? And the guy's like, what? Nothing. And they're like, oh, right. What, you thought I had something? And that's what I do. Challenge people. Show me something better. Show me a better way than this. Show me a better, and I'll go. I'm carnal. I'll go. I'm into this. I'm not really deeply into this right now. So show me something better that this other thing works. And I get the peace from that thing that I've never gotten from anything else. No one has. Offer's still there. But I'm 43 years in. I'm really deep in. But if you can show me better than being born again on my way to be with Jesus in heaven and have this peace that goes by all understanding, to have 5 kids, 19 grandchildren, all right, and just no more jail time, no more of this. Listen, you show me something better. And so here, he tells them here. He says here that and after 5 days, he sent it. So here's Tertullus, their orator, their big guy, the big guns. He's going to tell them everything. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, see that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. Flattery. It's not true. They don't want the Romans there. It's a lie. And Felix knows this. And so here they said, hey, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Lie. Okay. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. You understand, this is 20, 30 years into it. They know that Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarenes, a sect, which also have gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our way. Listen, this revision, verse 7. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Well, that's a pretty good job reference, okay? Because that's what centurions are supposed to do. When people say, hey, he took us by violence, well, that's what they do. They just rush in there. Okay, so he was doing his job. Commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. Hey, where's the 40 who bound themselves to a curse and said they're not going to eat anything? Why don't they just come to their senses and repent? Where's all the people for the last few years have told us, oh my, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, bodies in the street, viruses are coming, you need shots, you need this. Where are they? Where are they? I mean, if you're living by this conviction, and so here, where are these 40 men that have bound themselves? Well, I say live out your convictions. There should be a report of 40 men dead within 40 to 50 days because you're not eating or drinking. Actually, if you don't drink within 7 days, your body will shut down, the organs will. If you have up to 40 days, okay, to live without food. So where are these guys? Oh, they're not there. So was it God, Satan, or the flesh? It just was religion, man. Religion makes you do some crazy things. But here, a relationship with Jesus makes you do loving things. And so here, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examination, of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. Still, no Roman law broke. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Yeah, they're so. That's what he's doing. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years and a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me of. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call a heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, okay, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Do not fail to give the whole gospel. It isn't that Jesus, he died on the cross for our sins, but he rose from the dead. This is what separates from religion. Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, all these world religions, Joseph Smith of the Mormons, Charles Taze Russell, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science, which I grew up, their bodies, they're dead. No one's come back from the dead. And this is the proof of the resurrection. And if you're going to try to run a con on somebody, you don't say someone's going to come back to life. And he's seen by all these witnesses. And so here that there will be a just. And there's something, if you've read ahead, you know that Felix knows about the Jews. He knows something. He is governing them, but he knows something about the conquered people. And a good leader, and again, unlike some of our presidents, they put people into countries as ambassadors who knew nothing about the country. They just bought their ambassadorship, or it was a payoff or whatever, and yet they knew nothing of the country that they were in, supposedly representing the United States. They thought that they were to acclimate and to be friends with us. No, it's for America's interest there. So that's the whole thing. It's the same way for you and I as Christians. We are ambassadors for Christ. Our goal is not to come here and acclimate. Our goal here is, as ambassadors for Christ, as Paul tells us in Corinthians, is to represent the kingdom of heaven here on earth. It's to represent Christ, imperfect as we are, but we're to show them about a love and grace and mercy and forgiven. And here on, verse 16, and here on, do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. Look at the order there. God first. Remember when King David sinned against God and he got Bathsheba pregnant, and then to hide the fact he had her husband killed in war, so it looked like, and then he looked like a benevolent king who married, because there was nothing against polygamy, having many wives, and it looked like he took her as wife because her husband was a fair general, but he died in battle, and yet he was hiding the whole fact that he was an adulterer. And then months later, when he's found out, you read Psalm 61. Take not thy Holy Spirit, renew in me a right spirit, O Lord. But it says there in that psalm, it says here that I've sinned against you and you alone, God. Well, wait a minute. You got a woman pregnant. A guy died. Right. You understand this. It's first and foremost your relationship with God. You first sin against God before it manifests to anybody else. Your issues with God. Not the person you're arguing with, not the person you don't like, whatever. Your issue first and foremost is God. Get that relationship right. And then that'll flow into your relationship with others. But if your relationship with God isn't right, you're just going to pick on others. How do I know? I'm one of you, right? I'm just a little bit further ahead of you. If I start picking on my wife or anybody else, I'm just not dealing with the things in my own life, and I just want to pick on you. That's just the way it works. And so here, get it right before God first and then men. There's no way. It isn't get right with everyone first and then you'll be okay with God. No, get right with God first and then your relationship with others will change. And so it says, I have a clean conscience before all of them. Verse 17. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offering. So he's bringing gifts back from the other Gentile churches back to the Jerusalem church. And that's what he's doing there. I wasn't causing a ruckus. Everything they're accusing me of, I didn't do. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with atonement. So remember what he did? He took the place. There was some line sitters. The Jewish believers there said, hey, Paul, why don't you do this? Because everyone thinks that you're saying turn away from the law and do all these things. There's four guys here. They've gone through the whole ritual. All you do is pay their fee, and then you can actually take their place in line. Nowhere in Judaism, nowhere that God gave that to Moses at Mount Sinai. This is all religion. We've come up with some things to get around this, and this is what you can do. So, okay, so you're quote-unquote purified. He wasn't causing a problem. He was just there at the temple. He was there to worship God. And so here, he tells us here, wherefore upon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to, verse 19, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they have aught against me. Where's thine accusers? Now, Felix knows about this, that if you're going to accuse someone, the actual eyewitnesses need to be there. And so it's, where are they? Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. What did he do? Well, he sent a mean tweet. He says things we didn't like. He's rough. He's gruff. He just, whatever. Character things. Okay, well, we know that about Paul. He is a rough character. Verse 21, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called into question by you this day. I'm on trial for the resurrection of the dead. Remember what he did? Sadducees, you don't believe in life after death, don't believe anything spiritual. He killed him. He's a guilty. And the Pharisees who believe in every hyper spiritual thing, he's innocent. Immediately right there, you know, get the inmates fighting with each other. It says, that's what I'm standing before you. I'm standing before you, Felix, because I'm on trial for the resurrection of the dead. To a Roman, like, this is crazy. What? You're taking up time and space, and this is what it is? And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintances to minister or to commune unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he married a Jewish woman. Felix, very smart commander. I mean, whether he married her for, you know, love or whatever, but he knew about Judaism. He knew about the people that, Rome had conquered, and now he's the governor. And what do I need to do to just pacify these people? Ah, religion's their thing. So much so, if you remember, Jerusalem, the only conquered people, the Jews, the only conquered people, one of the things the Romans would do is to establish dominance is they would go to whatever the capital of that country that they dominated, and they would desecrate their temples. They would do whatever it says to show that they're in charge. But the Jews, docile people, they surrendered, they did all these things. But when it came up to setting up idols and doing their things in Jerusalem, they went berserk. And so it's just like, okay. The only conquered people in Roman recorded history that they moved their seat of government 40 miles away to Caesarea because it was too much trouble in Jerusalem. We figured it out. Just let them have Jerusalem. If we just let them have Jerusalem, they're going to pay tribute. They're not going to attack our soldiers. They're not going to like us here. We'll give them a little bit of freedoms. We'll give them, because it's a slave state now, and we'll give them this stuff, and we'll pacify them. That's what Rome did. There's nothing new today in politics, folks. If you think the government is there, here in America, it's to guarantee to establish our rights and protect them. But if you think government here gives you your freedoms and your liberties and stuff, your thinking's wrong. And so here, that's how you keep a docile people docile and just give them their own thing. So that's why they let them, hey, I don't care, Jews killing Jews and carting them off to prison in the name of your God and your religion, we're cool, we're good with that. I mean, as long as it doesn't affect us, and we're okay. And so here, Felix knows about all this. Paul knows his audience, too. It's well known about Felix. And so that's why Paul, not flattery, but paid him true tribute and honor. And it says here that she came. Verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Not with all the other accusers, whoever else was around there. Tell us more. What did Paul do? You're here now. He could stand there as a Roman citizen. I want my rights. It's not fair about being here. However he got there, he's before Felix right now. And what's he focused on? This guy needs Jesus. And Felix, he knows about these things. Concerning the faith in Christ, not the sect of the Nazarenes, but the faith in Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ isn't his last name. Christ means Messiah, the anointed one. Verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Well, that's what would happen with family and friends. I mean, I shared the whole gospel with them. I would share them, there's a heaven. Yes, there's a hell. Yes, he died for our sins, but he lives to be our Lord. And now there's a difference in my life. And the simple challenge of just, listen, if the way that I'm living, if the way that I'm living, how is the world worse off the way that I'm living right now? It's my question to you. I'm not robbing any people anymore. I'm not doing harm. I'm not extorting people. I'm not a criminal anymore. I have a valid driver's license. Well, after 2 years of becoming a Christian, me and the state came to an agreement. But I have a valid driver's license, insurance, fully registered car, motorcycle. I had all these things. I'm a law-abiding citizen, which was not in my nature and not the way that I grew up. All right? I wasn't switching license plates. I wasn't doing all the things. And I'm no longer causing pain and suffering in his lives. I'm no longer getting girls pregnant and having them get abortions. I'm no longer doing all these things and murdering and destroying. I'm no longer dealing drugs. I'm no longer doing crime. I'm no longer doing any of these things that causes harm. Now, again, you might look at me, the drunk and the drug addict and all that kind of stuff, and that's low. But listen, I wasn't stealing people's pension funds. I wasn't cheating on the taxes. I wasn't whatever your thing is. In other words, I was no longer actively causing harm in other people's lives to better my life and make myself feel better. So you do whatever vices you are with. How is the world worse off with me no longer living that way? Well, they're not. Then you want me to go to church. You want me to do these things. You're saying you want, You want the kneecapper? You want the elbow breaker? You want the back breaker? You want the debt collector? You want that guy? Because you all owe me debts. And because it was because of crime, I've forgiven you all the debts. I'm not going to collect. You're happy about that. You're happy that I have a conviction that the money that you owe me because of all the crimes we've done and what you owe and the mark, I'm not debt collecting on those. You're happy with that. But you don't like me telling you about Jesus. You're going to church. And they're like, okay, well, listen, if I come to the end of my life and all this, and I was wrong about God, what have I lost? Nothing. But the world right now is better off the way that I am. But if everything that I'm saying is true and you come to the end of your life, you have lost everything. And right now I can tell you the world is worse off with you in it right now because of what you're doing. You're not living your lives for others. You know, what I'm here because I care about you. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't be telling you these things and risking us not getting along anymore, causing you problems. Listen, he reasoned with them, and I'll tell you what it does. It frightens them. Mortality frightens them. End of life frightens them. Their lives, their pursuits, and their goals that they know, that I already knew, this wasn't fulfilling, it frightens them. And I'll call you when I have a convenient time. It's going to last 2 years that this relationship's going to go on. And he's going to call them aside, and he's going to talk to them here. And he answered and said, go thy way, and when the season is ripe, and in the convenient season, I will call for thee. And look at verse 26. And he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent him to often and commanded him. What if Paul would have just went ahead and paid the bribe? Then everything Paul's saying would be null and void. What would it be? Everything that he's saying, everything he said, if what you're saying is true, and yet you cannot, and it's common, you could pay the Romans, give the governor, give the official, give them money, and you'll be clear, and Paul doesn't do that. Then everything he's saying, so Paul's going to endure the next 2.5 years, and occasionally Felix is going to call him and ask him, well, what about this, what about that? I've had friends to this day. Well, call me. And what about this and what about that? And I go, hey, it hasn't changed. I'm 43 years into trying to break this thing. And now, after 43 years, I have some that are still alive and out of prison calling me and go, I see you're online. I see your name is still there. I see what's happening here. I go, yep, haven't broken yet. What about you? I'm interested. This is the longest phase we've ever seen you go through. Because I'm all or nothing, man. They all know that. I get into something, I'm all in. When I'm done with it, it doesn't work anymore, I'm off to the next thing. So I'm still trying to break it. I said, offer me something better. You know, a better pillow? Offer me something better. More toilet paper rolls? Because when you're in prison, you only get one roll per month. Just want to let you know. So give me 2 rolls of toilet paper? I mean, I'll be your friend or whatever. I mean, just offer me something better. Until you can, you're still going to hear from me. And I'm going to show you an imperfect life and it's forgiven. You want me. Same thing I told my boss or all my bosses. I always try to, after I got out of the Corps, I try to blow every interview. I just want to let you know I need Sundays off and Thursdays off. All day Sunday, and I need Thursday after 3 p.m. I need off. I don't work those days. And they're like, why is that? Well, because I go to church. And they're like, well, I don't know if we can really schedule that and let you off. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm not going to be here Thursday, and you should plan for that. I'm not asking for it off. I just won't be here. I don't know if we can do that. I said, the other thing is, you want me to go to church. What? You want me to go to church. Why? Because I will steal from you. I will rip you off. I was in an interview at a little Office Max Depot, whatever, and in between the interview, I'm watching the manager, and I'm watching a guy steal from one of the things there. And the guy's like, well, like that guy over there, he's stealing right now. How can you tell that? I can tell what he's doing. He doesn't fit. He's not the office guy in this place. And I said, yeah. He says, you'll be able to stop that stealing? I said, yeah. But I'm more crafty than that. I can steal and you'll never know it and you'll never see it on the inventory. You want me to go to church because I work for Jesus Christ Mutual Life and he's watching me all the time and he's blessing me. You want me to go to church. So I won't be here Sunday and I won't be here Thursday night. I need those days and I'll be there. So I just won't be here. Everyone's hired me. They haven't, then I'll just go somewhere else. That's the same thing I tell people. You want me to go to church. We had a sister. She's here first service, so she's not watching second service. But she stopped to come in church for a while. Her husband drove her to church. Actually drove her to the women's study and said, get out. I was there because I'm a male escort for the women's ministry, right? I'm there for the sisters and for protection. And I watched him pull up. She hadn't been in church in 6 weeks. He goes, get out. I helped her out of the car. This is years ago. And he says, yeah. And he looks at me. He still doesn't come to church with us. He goes, yeah, she needs to go to church. I don't like her. She's reverting back. I don't like that. She's, you know, like, okay. So it's a fun thing that her husband watches online. Hi, bro, if you're sitting there. But I won't mention any names. But you don't know who it is. But to see a husband who doesn't come in here and says, get out. I don't, just go to church. What about you? I'm good. Do you really, and that's the same, whatever family members I have alive, do you really want that guy to show up? Do you really want that person? And they're like, no. Then quit your whining and complaining about me and I'm being a Jesus freak. Get over it or show me something better. Show me a better way and I'll go. You know me. You know me. I will go to the better thing. Still haven't, 43 years. I challenge you. If there's a better gig than what I'm doing right now, show me. I'll go. But I know you can't. What's better than being born again and going to heaven? Nothing, man. And when someone goes, you have to think about that? Nothing. Lord Jesus, nothing. No greater name, no higher purpose, no greater king, no greater throne. But you, Jesus, Lord and Savior, you died for my sins and everybody else here, and you rose from the dead to live and make intercession for us, to be our Lord. Thank you for forgiveness of sin, and thank you, Lord, for right relationship with you. And Lord, I pray my relationship just flows over to everybody else because I want to be right with you in Jesus' name. Amen.